This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and today we're focusing on those European semi-finals. We will discuss the tale of two halves in Manchester City's 2-1 victory in Paris, Chelsea and Real Madrid playing out 1-1 draw in their first leg, Unai Emery seeking vengeance with Villarreal against his former Arsenal team, Man United's commanding comeback win against Roma at Old Trafford, and a preview of Sunday's big match between United and Liverpool. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Grainger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Robbie Earle, I got to say, mate, Champions League semi-final stage might be my favourite period of a season. You know, I know we love our Premier League and it gives us thrills and spills all the way through, but for pure fascinating matchups, Europe's best players coming head-to-head in a competition that they all want to win, I absolutely love it, you know, and like we've said before, the Super League, claim Super League about playing these guys all the time. I'm not sure it'd be the same. To get them to come together at this time is amazing. And I've got to say, we're going to start with the PSG match. PSG 1, Man City 2. Gordon Bennett, where do we start, mate? I want you to start.
I want to start with the interesting overview of you said. And I'll say Champions League semi-finals because of the two games, two English clubs involved. But I'm also going to chuck in Europa League semi-finals. Like, they're so kind of enjoyable, Rob, but they're so nerve-wracking. I'm watching the game and say, get hold of yourself, you're not playing. You've got no skin in the game. But I'm getting uptight about things and nervous, and that's what it does, because you've got, you know, at times, when you break these sides down, when we get to this stage, there ain't actually an awful lot between them. These days, these moments in teams that can win things. But talking about what great coaches, you know, good group of players, a bit of depth and quality, you know, different tactics, different systems, different philosophies, but there ain't that much in it. And so you're always looking for, where's this one going to be won or lost? How are they going to get there? And my first impression of Man City, Rob, from the first half, and this is my kind of, you know, I'm not looking at the, I thought they kind of looked like they wanted it too much. I thought they got in themselves. I thought it maybe, for the first time with City, I sensed they're a little bit, it's in their head a bit, this. It's going to be a difficult one to get through.
Well, it's the same thing, Rob, that we spoke about. I think it was the first leg against Borussia Dortmund. It was a little nervy, a little edgy, and like it wasn't themselves. That being said, right, PSG, I mean, wow. Yeah. Talk about, you know, and like we expressed through social media, other people have, the quality of this game, Rob, the quality of the football, Neymar, Mbappe, the midfield players playing through City like they've never seen before. It was like they got a bit of a chasing. I remember one of my notes is like, wow, I'm not sure we've seen City get a bit of their own medicine. I don't think PSG, maybe, well, they couldn't. Probably never played as well as that for a long period of time. I mean, I just thought they were dynamite, Rob. PSG in that first half, some of the football that they played was absolutely fantastic. And like, I'm thinking, wow, you know, City aren't used to this. This was a different level. This PSG City first half, from PSG's point of view, I haven't seen a team play as well as that against City for a long, long time. And obviously, it went crazy in the second half, but I just, you know, we got to give it to Pochettino and that.
And the group,
they were good in that first half.
And I think that's why the second leg is no foregone conclusion, as much as City are ahead and, you know, going back with the victory to the Etihad. There was a period of the game, I thought part of it was all City didn't look. Normally, the press is good, the aggression's good, and Pep even said after that, he thought, I think he said his team were a little bit shy in the first period of the game.
Didn't press,
didn't play with aggression, didn't press with or without the ball. He didn't see all those good things that we used to see on a regular basis. And I thought, I mean, the game was beautifully balanced. It looked like PSG were possibly going to kick on and find a second. Then you're starting to get worried. But as ever, Champions League football throws something up and you know, we get a Kevin De Bruyne goal out of the quality of his ball, really, is the thing that does it. I mean, I know he's looking maybe for Diaz or Stones is coming around the far post. He's trying to hit one of his teammates. But because of, you saw it, I think there was a great shot from like the halfway line behind De Bruyne, and you almost saw everything he saw. And he's basically whipping it on goal, saying, somebody touch it, one of our players, one of their players. Or you get the other thing that happens is the goalkeeper can't move until he thinks he's been touched and he beats him in on that far post.
Yeah, absolutely right. Brilliant ball in. I mean, you could look at that and people could say, well, it's a little bit lucky City with that goal. But it was a good ball in. You know, they created the ball space. He gets the space to put the time to put the cross in and it sneaks in the back post. Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible difference, Rob, in the second half. Just back to the lineup. Yeah. There was no real surprises there, Rob, with the Man City lineup. I mean, I think the Kevin De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva, they're basically both false nines, really.
Yeah.
They're both there. When you look at it tactically, without possession, they're kind of a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
But those two just go everywhere they want to go. It's like two false nines, and it makes it incredibly difficult when they get their passing going because they're coming out number in midfield and the centre-back got nobody to mark whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I just think they got back to that possession, Rob, in the second half and they got moving the ball around. Whether PSG tired is some thought, like, you know, they're not used to this kind of
that intensity level. For that level, yeah.
But they found a way.
Yeah, they did. I heard that we've been mentioning that, you know, people have said, is this what's always going to hold PSG back, playing in a league where you don't have that intensity for that long, where maybe even just concentration and all those things that maybe we take for granted in the Premier League, because every game kind of has certain levels of physicality intensity in the way it's played. Maybe that's something that Poch has got to look to adjust, or they're going to have to look to adjust on those very big nights, because then they did fall away. And it almost started to, second half looked like, I think, what we expected it to look like, City in possession probing.
Yeah.
PSG sitting deep. I did always feel, though, Rob, watching the game, and I was kind of, I'd say I was with a couple of friends, so you never quite watch it quite as intently, but I always still felt there was the danger there. There's that counter-attack danger in PSG, where if Di Maria gets on, if Neymar could still make things happen. Obviously, Mbappe can just find a space in his way. Once or twice, I think goalkeepers maybe clean things up when they were playing a high line. I just always felt like, and I felt that PSG were kind of waiting for one of those moments. And I almost felt like City still were aware that one of those moments could come.
And it still could come. You know, I think when you, the two goals, particularly the goal through the wall, and then Idrissa Gana, Rob, gets sent off with a crazy tackle. Yeah. Talk about implosion from PSG in the second half. Mm. That being said, it's 2-1. And yes, City got two away goals, but it's only 2-1. You know, back at the Etihad, we know the pattern of the game, what's going to be, and Neymar and Mbappe are a serious, serious threat. I just think those two players, particularly in that first half, were different class, really bright. And that's going to be there, Rob. And of course, I think we probably would fancy, and most people will think the City will go through.
Yeah.
But not as easy.
Not done deal.
No. I'll tell you what I thought, right, on a bigger picture of this game.
Yeah.
I thought the change from the first half to the second half, the scenes afterwards, and the way they came through against the PSG side that's packed. Well, not packed, but it's got a lot of big-time players in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And City still won after being poor in the first half. I thought it was a defining moment, Rob, in terms for Manchester City's kind of existence, really, in this competition. A defining 45 minutes to come back from a team that had played City almost off the park and still find a way to win and get their football going and get those goals and put them in pole position. I just like, when you look at the other semi-final, Rob, and we'll go on and talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, right? And we've seen a lot of City, Rob. I don't know who can stop this team. I just don't know if PSG in the second leg or Chelsea or Real Madrid can stop them, given that performance in the second half. And again, this could all be rubbish if they don't perform.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just felt something new and exciting, and like they are absolutely the team to beat this season in this competition. You don't seem so sure.
No, I agree. I understand what you're saying. I think, Rob, they've got to get through the tie for this to be definitive. I know what you mean. I think they got over a real difficult City moment that in the past with Pep has been a hump, has maybe gone down two, has not come back. So I get what you're saying, but I still sense, Rob, and it's my whole sense with City, there's a nervousness about, do you know when you want something too much? I remember playing in the FA Cup semi-final, not to bring myself into this thing, and I kind of wanted that game too much. And I was all over the place. If there's one other game I could ever out the whole of, I won the 600 not a play, it'd be that one. Because I didn't play it like me. I wanted it too much. And I think, for me, that's where my only position with City is. Got to see it off. If PSG come to Etihad and open up and go 1-0, I think they're back in that same place. They're back in that place again where you've said.
Yeah.
And they've got to get to it. If they go through, I think they win it. I think they win it. They could win it 70% of who they are. I think they're that good. I think this is the stage. This is the challenge to get them over this line. And you know, obviously, we're hoping they do it. We wanted the English clubs to get through. But I totally agree with you in terms of it was a big situation for them to get through. I just want to go back to one player, Robin Musto. You know, I like to pick out in a game. Kyle Walker, my friend. Kyle Walker. Maybe not who everybody would think. A lot of people think he's just about running up and down. A lot of people suggested that he would probably be the one, you know, just Cancelo sit in his position, play better, drop into midfield. Kyle Walker in this game was as important to Man City as any player in their team. At times he got caught one-on-one with Mbappe, dealt with it. He nicked a couple of balls from Mbappe, started counter-attacks. He went forward at the right time. Tactically and technically, I thought he was excellent in a high-level game of football where a lot of people generally, I remember, I think it was Roy Keane or somebody talked about, he's a car crash waiting to happen. There's always a... Kyle Walker, Robbie Musto, deserves a little bit of credit because it was one of those days where I thought, not many people might see. Brilliant performance by Kyle Walker.
All right, I'm going to come back here a little bit on that. I would agree with what you said there for the second half. And maybe I'm talking about the first 20 minutes, half an hour, Rob. I'm watching the game, studying the game.
Yeah.
And we're looking at City clunky. There was three players that were clunky on the ball. And Pep afterwards, Rob said, was it Pep said it or one of the players said, you know, I think it was Pep sort of saying, this is a big game. Some of them were a little nervous. They weren't ready to play. I thought Cancelo, who got dragged off later.
Yeah, he wasn't great,
Kyle Walker and Rodri, and this is kind of nitpicking a little bit now, given what they did, but the football, their passing was off. If you go back, like the passing giving the ball away and like, come on. I'm thinking City are better than this. And just those three players, I thought, and if those three, if you've got two defenders and your midfield playmaker, Rob, if their passing isn't as crisp,
yeah, he's going to start it off.
Then nothing gets going further up. And I, of course, like it all changed after half time. Great team talk from Pep.
Yeah.
They all seemed to relax, take a breath. PSG dropped off a little bit, and the football came. And you're right. I mean, some of the runs forward and some of the defending back. I think there's a moment in Mbappe where he came back and he messed with the ball, took the ball away. Those players came into a game, apart from Cancelo. Zinchenko came on, and Pep must have been like tossing up between these two. Mm. I think we had this very same conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Play. Strongest.
But Cancelo started, and Zinchenko came on, and from then on it was much, much better. But no, I think that's interesting, Rob. And another thing, like we just had a chat with our producer Jorge, and there was moments in the game, Rob.
Who knows nothing about football?
Harsh. Obviously, they got the goals, the two goals. He's kind of saying, with this, without a striker, can they keep doing this? And people have said about it. No Aguero, Jesus.
We've said about it, or I've certainly talked about it. You know, I say I like a centre forward in the team at some point because it gives you something. He does something different than other players.
Well, let's just follow up on that point.
Mm.
For Pep and for Man City, and maybe other silky footballing teams, a centre forwards, a bit of a dying breed.
Yeah, yeah. They're a waste of a position.
Well, I mean, in modern day football, right? And just bear with me here. Like, Pep doesn't play a centre forward because generally they're not as good footballers as your midfield players. Technically, look after the ball and keep possession and play and just be intelligent.
Now, well, you're almost nine outfield players in the Pep because that person's not a footballer as such. Like, even Aguero, as great he is, he's not a brilliant team knitting together
possession guy and keeping the ball. Now, if you develop midfield players that have got a great eye for the goal, we know midfield players can spot a pass and got accuracy and they're brilliant technicians. Why wouldn't there be more midfield scorers from central positions that start playing in teams, Rob, and not have to have a number nine centre forward? Who, listen, I'm a little bit tongue in cheek, okay? So I'm just chucking it to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it probably, you know, this is Pep's philosophy.
Let me give you one answer. Karim Benzema. Right there.
Harry Kane.
Just people who can have a moment, despite all that passing and those things, who change the game, who change the fortunes.
How many of those strikers exist in the world right now? There's a few. There's a Lewandowski.
There's Kane. There's probably stick Mbappe up there. You would, if you've got the chance. You'd probably sit Haaland in there right now if you've got the chance.
Yeah.
We're talking about the very top end.
But they're hard to find, Rob. And listen, again, this is tongue-in-cheek. I'm just sort of saying, like, because we've watched City now without this striker, and I know they play a certain way, but it's like, midfield players can kind of score goals.
Interesting, Rob. It's an interesting point, and I joke about a producer who's got a good mind on football and often is a good challenging point for us. I think what you may get without a striker is goals that aren't striker-style goals. They might not be always the stylish goal or that pick-off or the near post, because that's what a striker does. But you take that up, but you get other types. You might get other types of goals.
You get one combination goals, 1-2.
Combinations, passes into the box. You're going to get those maybe De Bruyne bending it in offset pieces because without the centre forward, Kevin De Bruyne is unlikely to play that ball if Foden or Sterling's playing in that position. Mm. It's not really a ball he's going to play.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it just there's so many goal-scoring midfield players in Manchester City, and this might be the team, Rob, that wins it all and is a... Mm. You know, it's a signature team for Pep with no striker. Yeah. I'm not sure have we ever seen a team win this competition without a recognized striker.
We're starting to get that point with Pep, and when he first came to the league, you know, can he get you? Took him a year to get to the league. Then we said, can he the way he plays and with all that possession, fullbacks coming in. Now he's going to probably go on and prove or disprove that he can do it without a centre forward. He's an innovator, mate. He challenges the norm.
And look, we're kind of talking like they're through here, but they're not through.
Yeah.
And you're right. This all could fall down next week. you know, in the second leg, and it might all be different.
And then all Mbappe the questions will be out, by the way. The questions like, he can't get it done, that why isn't he playing the centre forward? It'll all come crashing down. So that's where I think it's different. I think the second leg is definitely for Man City. So I think if they get there, they win it. I just, they've got 90 minutes still to concentrate on. Let's move it to the other semi-final, mate, because we've had a great week of games. And again, another one I'm watching, and I'm nervy and battling. Madrid 1, Chelsea 1 was a scoreline. What was your takeaway from this one, mate?
There were some great performances from Chelsea.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how comfortable they were, Robbie Earl, in the first whatever it was, half an hour. Super slick. Pulisic gets a goal early, 14 minutes. I couldn't believe what I was watching, actually, how easy and how comfortable they were in game, and how Real Madrid seemed to be like super casual. You know, you sort of think about the team. It doesn't look like a great Real Madrid side. Benzema does his lovely goal, his little cushion header and his overhead kick to equalise the game. But I did expect them to come on after that, Rob. Expect them to come on stronger. But Chelsea, I think we said it, Rob. This was going to be an interesting game because the way they defend, and for the most part, he did a really good job defensively. He messed around. He messed around with the substitutions, didn't he? He wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, 65 minutes in, he put Havertz, Ziyech, and James on for Werner, Pulisic, and Azpilicueta. So pretty much kept the same shape.
Yeah,
different bodies. He talked about people being tired from the weekend and obviously games he played.
I thought Mount. I know we're going to talk a little bit about N'Golo Kante and what he did.
Yeah,
I got to say, particularly in that first half an hour, Rob, Mason Mount was running the show. They had nobody in Real Madrid. Yeah,
but Mason Mount was the Modric of the game. Yeah, Mount was the Modric of the game. I mean, this kid just continues to get better. In that stage, with that quality of opposition, he was outstanding. Same as you, I thought I've got them to control the game. They're comfortable with the setup. I thought they looked well coached. It looked like a European team, Rob. You know, where you think, balance was good, shape was good. Obviously, midfield, they were dominating. What else have I got as in
there? Well, let me follow up, Rob. There's a few more bits I've got here as well. And the amount of breaking opportunities they had was astounding to me. And how they didn't score more goals or work the goalkeeper more was a concern, because they got through. Got through so many times. They should have been more goals up, Rob. It was that dominant in the first half. Just very, very, very impressive. And Pulisic gets an important goal, mate. That's really a lovely bit of composure there. That's a lovely bit of composure there. Doesn't panic. I knew he's got such quick feet to get around the goalkeeper and then force a ball into back of the net. It was grooved from, there's talk about, talk about it. They changed the system, Real Madrid, didn't they? Played three at the back.
Played three,
Varane in the centre, Carvajal and Marcelo and wingbacks. We've seen this lots of times, Rob, where teams change stuff.
Match up.
And they're not used to it. Chelsea, if they're anything, they're pretty grooved in the way that they play system-wise. And I thought that was pretty evident as well. It's just they could have, I ain't saying putting the game to bed, they could have, with a bit more ruthless determination, a little bit of care in those counterattacks, Rob. It's like, wow, you're in behind again. Like, you should be working the goalkeeper. So that's the only disappointing side of it, given how really, really impressive they were in the first half.
Yeah, I've got the same. My overview of the game would be, despite a 1-1 draw away from home at the great Real Madrid, is a tinge of disappointment, Rob, that this one could have almost been done. This could be 3-1, going back to Stamford Bridge, with, like you say, working the goalkeeper better, with a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, Timo Werner's got a score, lovely classic header back. You got a score, Rob. There's absolutely no, whether the keeper gets something or a save, you have got to score that goal. And that's going to be the problem if they don't go on to get to the final. It'll be about taking opportunities when they came, because if you open Madrid up in that manner and you got one-on-one with the goalkeeper in that way, he's got school, mate.
Can we have a little awkward conversation about Timo Werner, Rob? I mean, how long? I mean, what I really want to say is he all that? Is he any good? I mean, I mean, Rob, it's been a lot of games, a lot of patience, different managers, a lot of opportunities. I mean, chances to score. Like, he has shots that comes off his feet. I mean, we shouldn't be saying this given his record in the Bundesliga.
But is he going to come good?
Is he good enough? Is this a different level in some ways, particularly week in, week out?
The problem you've got, Rob, is, and I'll turn back to the weekend's game where he scores against West Ham. And then Mason Mount has a shot, comes off the goalkeeper. And you're thinking, a goal scorer then gets the relief. When they've got one, they kick in. The second one becomes easy. Then they're on the flow. This guy looks like he's fighting it even when he scores. He doesn't look like he's got that confidence. And even Tuchel said after, you know, he's got to lift his head up. He's got to get on with things. I almost get the sense like Tuchel's starting to get to a point where, you know what, I can't defend him anymore. I can't keep picking him if he's going to have a chance. Because, you know what, at some point, Rob, The other 10, or the guy sitting on the side almost go, really? You know, when's my chance? You know, they talk about Tammy Abraham. They talk about he might be letting him go for somewhere near 40 million. Olivier Giroud's never let him down. If Olivier Giroud has that chance, it's a goal.
Yeah. There's an article, Rob, maybe we read the same article about Chelsea getting some money back.
Yeah.
From Tammy Abraham, from Giroud, and there's a couple of others mentioned they get some decent money for.
Yeah.
To build a pot of money something, to go and buy somebody. Whether it's they were talking this, obviously, we all know about Haaland, Romelu Lukaku, possibly, Rob, to come back to Chelsea.
Mm.
Timo Werner would generate some money. They could sell him. They could sell him. If they get
you lose a bit of money. Let me chuck another one at you right now. Right now. You've just talked about Manchester City and the way they do it and Pep. Christian Pulisic plays your number 10. Is your striker. Your full striker in a Chelsea team that's dominating the ball where he can make clever runs in behind and he can finish, Rob. We know he can finish.
Well, it's interesting, Rob, because what City do, they have two of them. So I'd say no to one, but how about have two up there? And then you could throw in a three-man midfield. You could have N'Golo Kante with Jorginho for his passing, for Mason Mount for his creativity and his goals, and two false nuts. Havertz and Pulisic.
And Pulisic. Or Werner and Pulisic, maybe.
Werner's just like, you know.
Is he better, deeper than when he's right up there? Sometimes some players, I think, can't handle being the furthest player in the pitch. They like to be running with some depth, if you know what I mean, coming from, 10 yards out and seeing holes and making runs. I don't know, is he better in that position?
If Kai Havertz had... He showed us a little bit as a number nine, Rob, or nine and a half, as his manager said. He's shown us a little bit where he looked good. If he continued to play well, which he didn't, Werner wouldn't be in the side. Werner would be a great guy to come off the bench with that pace, running in behind. That is what he's at, Rob, innit? Getting in behind and crossing or trying to score himself. It's just a little interesting point you made.
Yeah.
And if you had a Havertz and a Pulisic behind there, you got a Mount in a three-man midfield, it's just a slightly different take on it.
Yeah.
Because Pulisic looks like
he can score goals a lot. He scores 15 goals, isn't there? There could be 15 there if you get 10 to 15 off somebody else, and then Mount's going to score. I'm just saying, in the Pep Guardiola world, if you're saying, why do we need that big money? He's got plenty of options, you know, Ziyech and Hudson-Odoi, and people who all can play in those positions. So, I mean, that one's interesting. I think, my takeaway is that I look at Madrid, Rob, and I heard Steve McManaman say something really interesting. He's won things at Real Madrid. He said, Real Madrid will have learnt a lot from this game. And he said, there's a lot of people in this group who know how to get to finals.
Yeah,
I know. And I thought it was quite a telling thing that, you know, Madrid will be better. Ramos will be back, won't he? I'm hearing.
Really?
Good chance that Ramos will be back, and you know what he brings, and he's inspirational. And I just hope that Chelsea aren't ruined, not making the most of a night when they played particularly well. Madrid weren't quite at it, and they could have been in a much more comfortable position.
All right, then, mate. With all that being said,
yes,
I'm going to go for a Chelsea advancing to the Champions League final. What are you going for, my friend?
Just Chelsea, but I think it's tight. I think there's an odd goal in it. I think there's probably a 2-1 win in it, the pace of up front. And I have to say, I've got to give some love to my little man, N'Golo Kante, by the way. Mm. I mean, we've got the Cruyff term. We should find something for the Kante. I don't know. karate chop or something. The way he gets in and wins balls and blocks things off. And I mean, that's just another level of football, right? His football IQ, his energy. Robbie skips around the court like he's playing in a Sunday football game. He's got a good passing rate. You can see a pass and he plays things at the right weight. I like him in that position where he can go and find the game a little bit. I quite like
what he
that
did,
as well.
That's what I was going to add on to what you said, Rob. I think we all know what he's great at, but I think it was a Real Madrid player. I can't think which one it was that was saying that he gave us a problem.
Yeah.
Getting between the lines.
We kept going
Not only did he stay by Jorginho and does the defensive side of things, but at times he burst through a little bit, Rob. And we know he's not a brilliant finisher. I think it's the time he went through and didn't do a great job of trying to score. Yeah. Or shot was weak a little bit. But it's annoying. It's annoying if he's almost doing two roles, getting forward from midfield to try and help the attack, but also, of course, doing an amazing job in the defensive side of it. So, I mean, like, again, we were chatting, like, what is impact for teams and what his career is turning out? I mean, what the heck? I mean, he's winning some stuff, my friend. What's he won? So Leicester City... Premier League title.
Yeah, Premier League title, 5-1, yeah.
Chelsea.
Premier League title.
And he could potentially be in a...
Well, if he gets through this game, he goes to a Champions League final and will be key if Chelsea are to win it with the way that Chelsea play. He'll be the key player to deal Cup. With the false nines, I think. France World Cup. Yeah, just
France
put
World
that
Cup.
In. Probably not bad, is it? It might be Euros coming up this summer.
Yeah.
Not bad for someone you never hear from, who's probably the most understated Premier League footballer you'll ever hear. I think Varane said, and he's just like a nuisance. He just can't get rid of him.
Yeah, it was Varane who said it. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, brilliant performance, but really well set up game. Again, looking forward to this one next week because as much as I'd like, I think advantage Chelsea. I have a little worry about Real Madrid.
Yeah, me too.
A little worry about them, mate.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, matey. Europa League, are we on to now?
Europa League, let's move it on to. So we kind of split duties, and I kept an eye on the Arsenal-Villarreal game. And obviously, it's Arsenal going to face a former manager, Unai Emery. We heard with Arteta that the two had spoken when Arteta got the job, and Unai Emery was very complimentary and tried to help him. Wasn't that complimentary when they got out on the pitch, but his team went 2-0 up against an Arsenal team that started the game not too well. First couple of minutes and then conceded a goal. Bad press, tried to press quite high, didn't go in unison, got played through, Rob. And then down on the right-hand side, Villarreal's right, which was a bit of a problem. Granit Xhaka was playing left-back again. Got little exposed, and they go down 1-0 in 5 minutes. And also the nature of the game is set. And in fairness, they found their heads a little bit. It was quite an interesting setup where Xhaka left back Chambers. You had Pablo Marie and Rob Holding. They had Partey and Ceballos as two holding midfield. And then ahead of them, Saka on the right, Pepe on the left, Odegaard in the 10, and Smith Rowe was almost like a false nine for them. Yeah, so there was no Lacazette. Aubameyang was only on the bench. So it was a very young front line. And it, having gone 1-0 down, they started to get into the game a little bit, sort of feel a little bit more Saka. Pepe, I have to say, is starting to show more of what I think we expected when they bought him for that much money. And then again, Rob, another one of those Arsenal. How can you allow this to happen in a semi-final of a European competition that you're desperate to get through and win a trophy and be in the Champions League? A corner kick, Rob. It's the basic thing of a corner kick where somebody's allowed a three-header to flick on and they've got good runners in the back. It's well worked. One of them training around. Somebody at the four post, centre-back comes in and Abiol, I think it is, and scores. They're 2-0 up and all of a sudden the game is really on for Arsenal. And however you look at Mikel Arteta, and however we talk about progress and the way they play and et cetera, that's unforgivable. To be in a European semi-final and not have your structures right of who's picking up and who's marking just at times goes beyond belief to me, because I've worked in football clubs where that's drilled into you. So the last thing is you're going out. Remember, you've got some set pieces. Have a look on the board. Make sure you've got your numbers. When we're out there, I'm on the team, I'm talking to, hey, Musty, make sure you've got him. I got him. We're all, it never looks that way with Arsenal. And although they got back into the game and give themselves a chance, these things will continue to hurt them. There will be no progress unless they start to be more disciplined in these situations.
I see Dani Ceballos, Rob, got sent off 2 yellow cards. I'm just kind of not surprised. He's a very emotional player. He reacts sometimes. What did he do?
He was on a yellow card, as you say, and you know what he's like. Sometimes he's chuntering and you can see he's getting a bit et up. I have to say his challenge was clumsy rather than malicious. He's tried to win a ball and missed it, and he's ended up stamping on a player's foot. It's close to the ref. It's one of them, Rob, where I can't argue the second yellow card. He's a little unfortunate, but maybe your brain tells you in that situation, I don't need to try and win it. I just stay on my feet and guard. He's tried to win a ball that probably not there to win. The guy's got there first, and then he stood on his foot right in front of the referee. It's one of them. If you go in a VAR, it's going to be, it's a second. Well, he couldn't have won the yellow, but it's a yellow card. He gets his thing, and then they're down to 10, and they're up against it. But in fairness, again, the team had a go. Pepe came in, he changed. Martinelli came up front. Smith Rowe went in with Partey in the middle of the park. Saka one side, Pepe the other. And to be fair, they had another go, and Saka draws a penalty kick that Pepe takes, and they're back in the game. They're back, got a chance. Aubameyang came on late on and didn't really have too many opportunities, but at least he's back fit and hopefully back in the squad, and maybe by next week he might be ready to go. So they're still in with a shout, but I just feel like little warnings of, you know, the set pieces, little warnings like that. Control we've talked about, as we've said over the years with Arsenal and certainly with Arteta's reign, they've got to control themselves in big moments, keep people on the pitch and give themselves a chance. If he's, you know, goalkeeper make a mistake one time, you know, red cards the other side, not picking up. Those are things, Rob, you can brush up on. Those are things you can be better with.
Unai Emery, my friend. Are we looking at a situation where He wasn't that bad at Arsenal.
Somebody else threw that out, sort of said. It was a night where the goal for Arsenal was very useful for Arteta, because all of a sudden you're looking, thinking, man, we've got rid of this guy. His team just beat us 2-0. Probably going to go through to the Europa League final, and we're supposed to be making progress.
Yeah, and the difference in size of these two football clubs as well. Rob, Villarreal is a small, tiny little place in Spain.
Yellow Submarine,
we're going to talk United in a minute, Rob, but it's an incredibly important competition for Arsenal, given their league table, given what's going on at the football club, given that the pressure the manager's coming under now, and given the prize of the Champions League football, sneaking a Champions League place would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you sense
important slant in their performance? These moments where the football's quite good, quite progressive, you can see what they're trying to do, it not always works to the level, but these encouraging signs. And then these moments, Rob, where this team are still I can only use the word naive. There was a maturity about Villarreal that was stark to Arsenal, and they got a man sent off. Etienne Kaboul, we know, ended up making a foul on Saka and got second yellow. They ended up 10 men in the end. But there's a lack of and when you're around people like Lee Dixon, and he's obviously an old Arsenal legend, we know and hear and speak of him. When you're around people like him and how he talks and how they are, it's that what's missing a little bit. Whatever that is, what he's got, that they used to bring to, you know, to Wenger's side. Professionalism, know-how, durability, one of your words. Be durable. Yeah. Get through a few bad moments in a game. Man City showed the durability. I thought Chelsea, there was a little spell when Real Madrid just started to have a thing. We're durable in midweek. You know, the centre-backs are blocking and people can't... Mm. No, I don't know that Arsenal have got that yet.
Yeah. All right, mate. Should we jump on to the game that I watched?
Yeah, let's talk about Manchester United, because this seemed... You know, I heard score lines coming in and I'm thinking at one point, that's not good. That looks okay. Wow, that looks even better.
Yeah, I mean, the game's done, Rob, really. I mean, 6-2 is an astonishing result, really. I mean, lots of kind of weird stuff going on, Rob. Biggest points for me are the front four for Man United are as confident and are as effective a Man United attack as what we've seen. I'm talking a long time. Rashford, Bruno, Pogba and Cavani, when you see them this confident and linking and the quality of the goals, and Bruno got two goals, two assists. Pogba gets a really good header from a Bruno. Cavani
that's
looks
the number
like
one front line. You're saying that's the number one front line for Man United?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's
on that basis, you got Fred McTominay then underneath them, or you got Matic and one of the others.
Yeah, this is the strongest United side. It is. Okay. Greenwood came off the bench. Yeah. And I love Greenwood as well. Rashford probably isn't it his best on the right-hand side.
Right.
But to have Pogba in the side, in a left kind of midfield, away from too much defensive responsibility, because that's being done by Fred McTominay, is good. And Bruno is just $1 million. He's just top-class player. And Cavani, Rob, he gets his goals. I'll throw it to you real quick. I mean, you might have mentioned this in the last pod, so apologise if repeating things here. He's going to leave a big hole. If he doesn't stay at Man United,
he's not going
to. He leaves a big hole. You go back to a Martial up there, the whole thing looks different. Pogba's alive with Pogba, alive with Bruno. But Rashford, they're all helping each other.
Let me show you another way. What if he's helped highlight the problem and it's something now they need to address? I think before he came in, we kind of came, is Martial and I think what he's shown, Rob, is it's different. It's different with a centre forward of that calibre in the team. So if it's not Cavani, we can't keep on waiting for Martial. If the other bits are all that he's done, it might actually be not the worst, not that you want him to go, but if he goes, yes, it's a hole they got to fill now. It's absolutely a hole they got to fill.
They drop off, mate. They drop off. If he goes and they don't bring somebody else in, they won't be anywhere near as good this next season.
A proper centre forward and one or two more additions gives them a chance. Not to win, not that they're going to go out and win a title. It gives them a chance. It gives them a belief that they can go. And there's a certain gentleman down in London, my friend, apparently North London, who's starting to make a few noises, by the way.
Yeah, I know he is making a few noises, Rob. I just don't know whether the Glazers are going to release that kind of funds to buy a Harry Kane. I tell you what,
they might need to get some fans on side. That kind of helps a little bit, though.
It would really help get people on side, absolutely, because that would be an unbelievable signing, a season-changing bloody signing that would be. Mm. Just a little bit on the negative for United. And the goals they gave up, Rob, you know, I mean, the Pogba handball...
It's all day long. It's a handball in the
interpretations and the rules. Like you're allowed to go on the ground,
and
the arms have got to be low.
So, and, yeah,
Yeah, so that the other goal was kind of they caught out the United back four a little bit. It just made me think at this kind of level now that they're at. And I'm not saying the Roma are a brilliant team, Rob, but the defensive, it's still a little bit of cause for concern. I think United's defensive kind of abilities, basically. They got some good protection. McTominay was strong and he's becoming a real leader for the team. Fred does okay. Yeah. I still think when that back, well, particularly the two centre-backs, Rob, it was Edin Dzeko that was who scored the goal. He got a little bit lucky with the deflection goal.
That kind of ricocheted
a little bit. But, you know, quality striker got in behind and scored. And I just, you know, just trying to think of United going to the next level for next season, even in this competition. In the final, it could come back to bite them a little bit. So I still, as we've always said, you know, another, I like Maguire. Maguire's had a good season.
Yeah.
Somebody with him as well is also, I think, is a you know, a beast of a defender and maybe a little bit of pace that the Maguire hasn't got. That's still a place, that's a position to upgrade in the summer. And I just thought, of course, 6-2, the attacking players take over the game and they put the game beyond Roma. They get a lucky penalty with Smalling going into Cavani, which is a weird... Referee was an excitable, Rob. Excitable referee. Made some strange decisions, let some stuff go. I don't think it was a penalty. I mean, it doesn't really matter now with that scoreline. But it was just... It was funny. United had a little bit of swagger. And I'm thinking, they're a bit casual here. What was it? They go 2-1. Didn't they? Was it
2-1 down?
I think they go 2-1 down. I'm like, they're a bit casual, and then they come on, because it was 1 and then 1-1, and then Dzeko scored in the 34th minute. So they're a little sloppy, but again, back to my first point, that front four, when they're confident, they're fit, they're buzzing, absolutely buzzing.
I saw just a glimpse of the first goal. Pogba spinning, doing his thing, into Cavani, lovely, into the third man. I mean, that's
lovely goal.
Another level football. Proper players together. They've got a big match at the weekend as well, Manchester United, my friend. They host Liverpool, 11:30 Eastern Time on NBCSN. Always one of the biggest games of the season, regardless where they're at, who's going for what. Obviously, Manchester United trying to cement that position in second. Liverpool desperately needed to put some wins together between now and the end of the season to give themselves a chance of getting back into that top four. So, definitely a big game. And we've, as ever, gone to our partners, PointsBet Sportsbook, to give us odds on this one, mate. And quite interestingly, you'll see that Manchester United are plus 185 for the win.
I got a news update. I think it's changed again. It's changed again, my friend. We got a message. Points back, changed again. So Man United, a plus 175. We just got a message come through. Plus 175. So down even more.
Down, yeah.
And Liverpool have gone up a smidgen to 145. So Liverpool are favourites, to your point.
Yeah. Slight favourites.
But a little less, so less, a little tighter. It's a little tighter now. Somebody, and the draw is plus 2.5.
Somebody must have done that at 2-1 down or 2-2 with the draw tonight. Then they saw they scored 6 and thought, ooh, maybe Manchester United. I mean, that one's always a difficult one. The draws, plus, was it 2.45 the draw?
Yeah, plus 2.45 the draw.
Plus 2.45. So I would actually say Manchester United favourites for me on that one, to be honest, mate.
Me too.
At home, in form, you know, pretty much done with the Europa League now, so can concentrate on getting that second spot, which we talked about is important. Little surprise that Liverpool come in with their form. Maybe because it's away from Anfield, they've seemingly been better there of late. But
possibly we'll be motivated. Cavani played 90 minutes, Rob, so maybe he won't play. But the fact that it's 6-2, I think that changes the lineup. Attitude, like all of a sudden now United, I mean, they can focus on this game more than they expected to. Rob, I think it was always going to be it would have been make some changes, you know, this Europa League final is massive for us. We're kind of secured where we are in the league table. But now, given the rivalry, given that scoreline, I think they're going to go for it. And Greenwood will probably play from the start instead of Cavani.
Yeah, he's motivated. He wants to get back in the team.
Yeah, he's fresh.
Let's not forget, Rob, this could have bigger implications because the Premier League title could be won this weekend. If Man City win at Crystal Palace and then Liverpool do go to Old Trafford and beat Manchester United, That means that Manchester City will be clinched, so we'll be 30 points clear with four games left, can't be caught, and will be the weekend that they, and that, as much as you say Man United then can concentrate, I always just get the sense of City. Be great to just have that one nailed off, and then you've got four games, Rob, to hopefully get to this event and prepare yourself for the Champions League final. Mm. I mean, that's a bit of luxury that maybe not many other teams have been able to have. So, yeah, always a big game, Manchester United versus Liverpool, for a number of outstanding reasons. One to watch, make sure, 11:30 Eastern time on NBCSN. Listen, mate, this was supposed to be a quick chat about the European games. I think we're 45 minutes in and counting. Dramatic week of European football in the Champions League. Quality performances away from home give Chelsea and Man City a great chance to make it to the final. And the Europa League, United plus six past Roma, so it looks like they're already there. But Arsenal still got work to do, but a decent home win could see them through. So we could, Robbie Mostel, have an all-English Champions League, all-English Europa League. Chelsea got a bit of work to do, and there's still football to do for more. We'll be back on Sunday, Sunday, May the 2nd, when we'll recap the weekend, including that big game from Old Trafford. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Love a classic chocolate chip cookie. Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.